This is Apocalypse Radio for Sunday, November 20th of 2022, 5:20 p.m. This is Webisode 739.
They're the good guys to know. Everyone agrees. So step up, good guys, and sign in, please.
This is Apocalypse Radio for
insert date here
2005.
Dude, your intro is so 2005.
Oh, it's 2008.
2022?
Is it really?
I can't.
Think about that for a moment.
And now, here's your host, Charlie.
Goddamn son of a bitch!
And Shaman.
Insufferable cock.
And we are back.
Hola, senores and senoritas.
Charlie over here.
And Shaman over here.
After a 2-week hiatus?
Yes, we took some time off.
Well, I had no choice.
Yeah, that's true. You did. You had no choice.
Yeah, I was working. I've worked so much.
Lord.
Over the past 3 months. That I just basically, I've worked the past 2 Sundays.
Yeah.
At Poochamania. And then we had our marathon for meals.
I love that name.
Food drive.
Poochamania.
Yep.
That's a good name.
And now it's all over with. Everything Now it's pretty much, I was telling my promotions director yesterday, we get to cruise the rest of this year.
Nice.
We're into Thanksgiving week. You know, we got a morning show golf tournament coming up. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Other than that, just, you know, cruise and start back up in January.
I was about to say, isn't it a little cold for golf? But I guess for you guys, it isn't.
So nah.
You're good.
Nah, it was chilly today. Well, not chilly. We got up to about 50. So it was a cold day for us today. But
it's a cool
back
day.
In the 60s tomorrow.
Cold for us is 35. It's currently, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's currently 31 in the Bluegrass.
Let's see. I haven't looked to see what Jesus. It is here right now. It is 46 right now.
Well, that's pretty cold for you guys.
Yeah. We got up to 52 today. It's up to 59 tomorrow.
Okay.
Down to 34 tonight.
Ooh.
64 on Tuesday, 65 Wednesday, 65 for Thanksgiving.
That's not bad.
Oh, great. The in-laws are coming in right when this might be raining.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, again, it's Sunday. That could all change by Friday.
Right. Okay. Well, that's true.
Because yesterday, it's 40% chance. I'm talking to my wife. 40% chance for rain on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we should be all right.
There you go. You'll be safe. Me not doing Thanksgiving again this year. It has been, me and Barb have been married 31 years. I think I have not celebrated Thanksgiving probably in about 20 to 23 years ago was the last time I celebrated Thanksgiving. I guess,
yeah.
I don't know, I guess it depends on what you consider celebrating Thanksgiving. The past couple of years, Barb, as usual, will go to Carrollton to hang out with her family and do that, and I will stay home. And the past couple of years, I've gone out with Tracy, and we go to Waffle House in the middle of the afternoon and celebrate Thanksgiving there. So I don't technically celebrate Thanksgiving, but I guess kind of, sort of, in a way, I kind of do, but not really.
The in-laws coming in. We're not really doing Thanksgiving so much. It's more just they're coming in, you know, going to hang out with us. And I think we're going to go to Night of a Thousand Candles at Green Gardens that Saturday. And that's really about it.
Okay.
Yeah. We were they said, we're fine with pizza and beer. I'm like, all right, hey, perfect. I can get that done.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's my kind of Thanksgiving meal, pizza and bourbon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pizza and bourbon. Fuck yeah.
So,
speaking of which,
we shall see how all that goes. I'm over all of it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck the holidays, man.
Oh, I'm not like, fuck the holidays. Oh, I'm over being busy.
Yeah. Well, that's true for you. Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I was telling you, there were nights in the past month where I was going on 2 hours of sleep because I was putting a new system at the radio station.
Jesus.
And just trying to get it all right and get it working right. I think I've got it just about down now. I'm off this week, but I'm still probably going to do a little work tomorrow, just emailing some stuff to people, making sure this is right, this is right. Make sure you do this. And I still find bugs here and there.
You're never going to take a week completely off.
Oh, no, never will.
Jesus.
Because I'm still glad, and I'm also still doing my other radio stations, too. Yeah. So.
Man, that's one thing. That's one thing I do not miss about employment is the whole... It was
working.
Very... Yeah, exactly.
Working. The whole working thing.
Well, yeah.
I miss seeing people.
I do.
I miss the activity and having something to do.
Right.
But the work part, I can do without that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, plus the fact that when I did take a vacation, I mean, I took, what was it, 5-6 a year, and when I did take a vacation, somehow work always managed to find a way to interrupt my time off. There was always something that needed to be done. I hated Christmas most of all because we'd do that whole 24-hour Christmas music.
Yeah.
And I had to go in and do all the logs and all the log assignments and all that shit myself. And sure enough, you know, at the very beginning of the month, I'd have to change everything over and make it run the music. And then the last week of the month, which I always took off, the last week of the month, I would always have to log in, work for about 2 or 3 hours, or even more sometimes, and change everything back so it would no longer be Christmas music. So, yeah, every year it was the same thing.
Well, I have none of that, so.
See, I hated that.
The only part about Christmas I will hate yet not hate is everybody pretty much takes off.
Oh, it's true.
I work it.
Oh, that sucks.
Sometimes I'm doing a little extra and having to work a little bit more.
Right.
There's nobody there to bother me.
Well, and that's a big plus.
You know, that's God, what was it? Friday.
Yeah.
We had a bus we were kind of promoting to take veterans up to a VA town hall. They were doing it up there. Not town hall, but a VA assistance deal. Like we're basically, if you were a veteran and you had a claim with VA, and you're getting to run around from the hospitals and the government and everything else, you actually go up there and speak in person to a representative from the VA about getting your claims processed.
That's cool.
And so the bus is leaving at 5 a.m.
Ooh, Jesus.
So I got about 3:30 that morning. And I was going to just try to take them donuts and stuff.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing fucking open at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no.
You can't go, you know, there's no Krispy Kreme open.
Nope. Do you all have Krispy Kreme?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dunkin' Donuts, the Krispy Kreme opens at 6, and Dunkin' Donuts opens at 5:30. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you people?
Hey, I agree.
Yeah. There are people on the road going to work at that time.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer that Krispy Kreme should be open 24 hours, not just and because I love their donuts.
It used to be.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think pandemic knocked it out.
You know, might be.
I think you'd be surprised how much is no longer open all night.
Right.
Thanks to COVID.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think there's a Walmart in town that's open at night.
I think our Walmart is still open 24 hours, if I remember right.
Yeah.
But there were a bunch of McDonald's around here. There was most of the McDonald's in town did 24 hour. But again, like you said, when COVID hit, you know, 3/4 of them went to closing at 11 o'clock at night. I'm lucky because the one that's 4 blocks down the street from me still is 24 hours.
Yeah.
So if I haven't had too much to drink and I'm starving, I can always run up and get a get a Big Mac or something. But
I think it's going to come back around.
I hope to fuck so. I really do.
I think you're finally starting to see everything. Well, thanks, Joe Biden, inflation. But people have to work now. No more sitting at home. Everything being so cheap.
I don't know, man.
You're going to have to get a fucking job.
I don't know. All these, I was just reading an article today about this year is continuing the year of, and they're expecting it to continue into the next year, what they call the Great Resignation.
Oh, where, yeah.
So many people are quitting their jobs and saying, fuck it, and sitting on their asses until they can, taking their time until they can find something that they're happy with.
I think you're getting a lot of that.
I think so,
That's also part of the inflation problem, too, because people aren't going to work for $10 an hour.
Right, right.
So they're going to have to raise wages, which to offset the cost of raising wages, they're going to raise prices.
Yeah, and, but, I've read...
Well, they're not... We know the companies are not going to give up profit margins.
No, they're not going to give up profit margins. But the thing is, I've seen too many reports and too many breakdowns of,
Oh, it's not that fucking much money in the big scope.
Exactly. And, you're talking pennies. You'd have to raise burgers by 10, 20 cents. Well, so what? I'll pay an extra 10, 20 cents to give,
the thing is, though, Freddy if the burger's a better... dollar, the thing is, though, if a burger's a dollar, you raise it 20 cents, inflation's now 20%.
But again, though, if you got a problem.
Well, I guess that wouldn't be 20. What would it be? Well, you raise it 20 cents. That's 20% of a dollar.
Yeah.
Is that a 20% increase?
I can't do math.
But, but that would be that hard. Again, they just show, it's 8%. Well, it's 8 cents a dollar.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, if you tell people like that, that's not bad.
Right. Exactly.
But,
they make it sound worse than it is.
But for $100, it's $8 more.
Which, again, if I'm spending $100 on something, if I can't afford an extra $8, well, then I don't need to be buying whatever it is $1,000
and 80.
Again,
spending
$1,000 if you can't afford an extra 80,
But then again, though, when you're like, it's an extra $8, but let's say your budget, what you spend a month, you're now spending an extra $80 a month.
Yeah.
Okay, after a while, it does catch up. It's not really the price of individual things. It's a cumulative effort, a thing.
Right.
When you go to the grocery store and you say you normally spend, $100 on groceries every week, and now it's, $108 or $110 a week.
Yeah.
That adds up over time. People are like, my budget's now. I'm going to take money away from this to pay for this.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up this. I like this.
I don't necessarily disagree. I just...
you can. Well, also, we raised, a nation full of pussies.
Yes. Yes.
You and I kind of grew up in the... And quite a few people listen to this. The black and white generic product days.
Right. Right.
It was like you had generics.
Yeah.
It's true. It said butter. Yep. There was no off-brand name. There was no good value butter. was butter.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's... I personally rarely have a problem with generic versions of most products.
Or store brand stuff,
Right, or store brand stuff, Like, what is it? I don't remember what Kroger's is.
Walmart's like Good Value. Kroger is like...
Private Selection.
Private
Selection, Private Selection.
Yeah, I mean, it's, It's, and the thing is, it essentially all comes from the same place.
Exactly. Canned tomatoes are canned tomatoes. You're not going to buy a can of... diced tomatoes that's generic, and suddenly you go, this tastes like shit. No, odds are good. It's going to taste like diced tomatoes, period.
Yeah.
The generic thing, like you say, it all comes from the same place. The generic thing has always been such a misnomer because people always associate it with, because it's so much cheaper, they associate it with an inferior product. And it's like, no, these are the same people making it as the big products. They're just putting a private label on it, and they're not doing a shitload of advertising for it.
Usually they make a brand for an in-store brand.
Right.
And the store or the chain has worked a deal with this company. Well, Kellogg's, we're going to take your Frosted Flakes. We're just going to call them Frosty Flakes.
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to advertise it. We're not going to really go after you. Your product is still going to be on the shelf.
Right.
but we're going to put this in there so we can all claim that our prices are the lowest.
Right. Because
And how much money? Yeah.
Regardless, you're always going to get people.
Yeah.
You know that to an extent, and I feel this way about some products. You're always going to get people who are like, "Oh no, I'd never buy a generic of that. I want Tony's Frosted Flakes." Yeah. And I'm the same way. You know, I know there's a generic version of it. I want real Tony's Frosted Flakes.
Yeah. And there are things, though, that there are really things that you can tell a difference on.
Some things, you know, yeah. There's some things.
Some things you can't.
Mm-hmm. What was it, a friend of mine?
Like, we get the Sam's Club version of peanut butter, their natural peanut butter.
Right.
Prefer that over Jif all the time.
Right.
And you get, you know, two big large bottles for $7.
Yeah, exactly. You can't beat the price, yeah.
No. I mean, hell, we've got now, we do the Walmart coffee or the Sam's Club coffee.
Yeah.
You know, the donut shop coffee, they call it.
There you go.
For the Keurig, so. And now they have shipping that's basically just as easy as Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, and I paid how much? $10 a year? Yeah, okay. Extra on my membership? Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'll pay that.
Any free shipping? I'll pay that. Because we ordered a new coffee maker because we got the in-laws coming in. And now that I drink coffee,
yeah,
I'll do usually like two cups in the morning. Mm-hmm. And Terry does one, so it's kind of like, okay. The whole having to pour water in it every time for the single serve just didn't make sense. So.
Barbara.
Well, then we'd had that since we lived in Kentucky.
Yeah.
I think I bought that for Terry, I want to say, 8 years ago or something like that.
Okay.
When Keurig's first started coming out.
Right.
So.
Yeah, Barb has made a motion a couple of times, indicated that she's considering buying a Keurig because of the fact that, you know, I drink coffee all day and all night. So she sets it up for me. She doesn't drink coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
Or if she does, she'll go to Starbucks. So she sets the coffee up for me in the morning. And when I get up, I just hit start and walk away and take a shower. And it's ready by the time I get out.
Yeah.
And during the daytime, it's not a big deal because I will drain that entire pot over the course of about 4 hours. I will drink everything that's in there. Now, at night is a problem because we will make a full pot. I could make a half pot, but I don't want to measure it and shit like that. So I just go, fuck it. I make a full pot. And the problem is usually at the end of the night, we've got half a pot sitting there undrunk.
Yeah.
So it would behoove us at this point, even with the cost per cup and everything else of Keurig, it would behoove us at this point to just say, fuck it, and switch to Keurigs for the simple fact that we waste a decent amount of coffee every night. You know, or during the day sometimes, like on the weekends, she'll make a pot at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Half of it will be left over by the time 6 o'clock rolls around, and I won't drink coffee that's been sitting there for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
I'd prefer not to. So I'll end up saying, fuck it, pouring out whatever's left, and then I got to make a fresh pot. So, yeah, at this point, it would probably be a practical consideration for us to switch over.
Because even then, you know, if you want to eliminate the cost, some of the cost, you can get the coffee you normally get, and then you just buy the fillable cups.
Yes, buy the reusable filters. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just go ahead and spend the $30 a month and or whatever, whenever it is, we run through it and buy 100 K cups.
There you go.
Donut cup coffee.
Makes more sense.
Like $30.
Yeah,
okay.
Makes more sense. You know.
I mean,
and Barb tries to, make what's left over at the end of a night last, because what she'll do is, if there's a half a pot left, she will take it, pour it into that turvis that you bought me.
Yeah.
The Batman turvis. She'll pour it into there, and that motherfucker will keep that shit hot for like a good 4 hours.
Oh, yeah, easily.
I mean, really good hot. So she'll pour it into there thinking that I'll drink it when I stay up so late during the overnight.
Yeah.
But the problem is, now I've got to go upstairs. I've got to get the coffee. I got to bring it back downstairs with me. And then I've got to pour cup by cup. And I just, 90% of the time, I go, fuck it. I'm not going to deal with it. And I don't end up using it. I just go without coffee for the rest of the night. Or I'll sit here, like I've got one here. I'll sit around and drink Red Bulls or use Red Bulls to chase my bourbon with. Red Bull makes a great bourbon chaser for anybody who's curious. And I'll go about it that way. So it's still, once again, it still ends up getting wasted.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever. Whatever. You know.
See, I never drink coffee in the evening or afternoon. I probably should. Cause I'm like right now, I probably could drink coffee because I'm about to fall asleep. And
damn.
You know. Well, I mean, yeah, that's just, dude, I've stayed so tired.
Oh, I bet you have.
I just, it's anymore. Like, once the sun goes down, it's like I start fading.
Damn.
And I mean, I'm pretty much, I don't even need to try to go to sleep or force myself to go to sleep anymore. It's like, as soon as I lay down, about 11:30, I'm out.
See, I'm in such a fucked up sleep schedule. Like, for the past 3 weeks, I've been up until 4 or 5 in the morning, drinking coffee or Red Bulls through the night while I play, you know, golf with you guys.
Yeah.
Then sit around and watch videos for hours and read a bunch of shit on the web. But the problem is, like, what was it? I guess it was Friday. I was supposed to get up early for something. I was supposed to get up around 11 or noon, so I ended up getting up about 11:30, and when I went to bed that night, was tired. I was actually like, okay, that's cool. I'm tired. I'll fall asleep. I fell asleep pretty quickly, but then the next night, you know, like, what was it? Last night. Yeah. I was up the previous night until 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
So when I went to sleep the next night, I had only been awake for, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours during the day. I can't fall asleep then. And it's not the coffee I'm drinking.
Yeah.
It's the fact that I haven't been up long enough during the day to get tired or get to the point where I can go to sleep. So I ended up laying in bed just fucking staring at the ceiling for a good 3 hours. Until I finally fell asleep. I've got to get up tomorrow. Is it tomorrow or Tuesday? It's Tuesday. Tuesday, I've got to get up at no later than 11.
Oh, shit.
Well, I've got a psych appointment at 1 o'clock on teleconference, on video conference. Yeah, I've got a psych appointment at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. So, yeah, I'm going to have no choice. I'm going to have to try to at least go to bed around 1 or 2 at the latest.
Yeah.
So I can get up the next morning. And then that will fuck up my sleep schedule for the next day. it's a constant. I tell you what, I wish I could get on one sleep schedule and stay there.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's a constant jerk off, jumping back and forth from one time to the next on when I'm sleeping and when I'm not.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand that completely.
Jesus. I fucking hate it. I'd love to be able to turn on a dime.
Because I'm trying to get myself back into what my sleep schedule was.
Right.
Of just getting up early, because I've kind of fallen off that. I've kind of now get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
I was getting about 4:30.
Jesus.
And I'm not getting as much done.
Right.
But it's been several factors, though. Like, I'm no longer going to the gym right now to have Maggie. I kind of keep her occupied in the morning because, you know, she needs to be occupied and watched.
Right.
Until she gets old enough, we know she's not doing anything in the house.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because she'll just, whoop, you're not watching me? All right, I'm going to go right here. Now, she's gotten better. She's not, you know, I'll go in my crate and you have to wash all that shit again.
Oh, Jesus.
Or, you know, you're not watching me. I'm going to go right here.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but she's getting better about it. Again, well, she's only had her for a little over a month.
I was going to say, she's a puppy, and she's still a puppy, even though she's a
horse.
Yeah, I was going to say, even though she's a big puppy, she's still a puppy, and
puppies,
you know, they're harder to train and everything else. She'll probably be much better after about a year or two old.
Oh, yeah. No, and she's gotten better now. I mean, we've been taking her puppy classes every week, and she's getting better about, you know, not making messes.
Right.
She's wiped out right now. We've been home all day.
Okay.
But she's not had any time to sleep.
That's good.
Yeah, I left earlier to run out to, pick up some stuff and things we were going to do right here around the house.
Yeah.
And picked up the TV we bought and all that other jazz. And Terry's been home, but for the most part, you've been home all day.
Yeah.
We were home half a day yesterday. So, which is more than normal. So.
Right.
Now she's bugging me because she wants her walk so she can come home, get her lamb crunchy, and go to sleep.
So. Yeah, Barb swore. She swore after we'd had Ivy for about a year. She was like, that's it. I am done with puppies. We're never getting another puppy. From here on out, it's dogs that are, 3 to 5 years old or older already.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't want to have to ever train another dog. And yeah. I don't blame her because Ivy is what, 4? She's either 3 or 4 years old now. We keep puppy pads lined up and down the hallway.
Yeah.
She knows she's supposed to go on them. I know she knows because if I am upstairs, when she does a good job on the paper, I will give her a treat.
Yeah.
So she will sit there, and this is not a joke. She really does this. She will sit there, look up, see I'm watching her. She will walk over to the pad, piss a giant puddle. Okay, fine. Yeah. Good girl. I'll go get you a treat. And I'll get her a treat.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, she will walk over to the pads. She will look up, make sure I'm watching.
Yeah.
And she will piss about a dime's worth.
Yeah.
About the size of a dime and come walking over to me and just stand there and look at me like, I did a good job. Give me a treat. And
yeah.
I'd be like, okay, you know what? There's a limit here.
Yeah.
If you're going to fucking pee just, a little bit just to get me to give you a treat, then we've got a problem. And I still to this day cannot break her of shitting in these two spots. One of them in the hallway, one of them just inside the bathroom in the hallway. She will every time. I will get up in the morning or afternoon, every time there will be a stack of shit laying out in the middle of the hallway. When I come to bed at night, because Barb will, she won't go to bed when Barb goes to bed. She will go out there, and that's when she's decided she is going to eat is late night, or well, whatever late would be considered, 9:30, quarter to 10 for Barb. She's decided that's the time she'll eat. So she'll go in there and eat. She'll go to bed. She'll get Barb to let her in. And then an hour later, she'll have Barb let her down and go do whatever it is she does. Well, what she does is shit in the fucking bathroom. So I'm to the point now where anytime I go upstairs late night to go to the bathroom, I have to tiptoe around, make sure I walk through the middle exactly of the hallway. I'll have to reach ahead 3-4 feet, turn on the bathroom light to make sure there's nothing there. And 9 times out of 10, there's a fucking stack of shit sitting right inside the doorway that if I just walked through and take a piss, I would have stepped right in the fucking middle of it.
Yeah.
And again, she's 3-4 years old. I know she knows better at this point. She's just choosing not to do so.
We've kind of got fortunate with that.
Yeah.
Late night stuff.
Yeah.
Because while Maggie's huge, she doesn't know she's huge.
Ah.
So she gets up in the bed. We have to pick her up and put her in the bed.
Right.
And she can't get out of the bed on her own.
Oh, okay.
Or she's scared to get out of the bed on her own.
Right.
And she will not pee or poop on the bed. So thank she God. Sleeps the entire night. No problems.
Nice.
And she's usually, pretty much asleep within 10 minutes of being put down on the bed.
Yeah, you're very lucky.
But again, she doesn't know she can get on the furniture or anything else. It's not like we're telling her no, or anything like that.
Right.
We just haven't introduced her to it.
There you go.
And so she just she can put her front legs on it.
Yeah.
Hell, she can put her front paws on the counters.
Yeah.
That's how long until she's got.
Jesus Christ.
And she's only 4.5 months old.
Damn.
So,
too big for me. Too big for me.
Oh, I mean, she still looks puppy, but I mean, I'm going to guess she's probably 28 pounds by now.
Yeah.
I've got to take her this week and get her weighed so I can get her flea and tick medicine. So
you think she'll end up being bigger than Roscoe and Jesse?
Oh yeah, she'll be bigger than Roscoe.
Damn, I mean, no, bigger than Roscoe?
Oh yeah, she'll be bigger than Roscoe.
Because Roscoe was a big dog.
He wasn't that. He was at his fattest. He was like 50 pounds.
See, I have a different definition of big. Anything that can knock over shit on a shelf with its tail, I go too big, too big.
Well, no, he really Roscoe never could really knock anything over.
No, okay.
No, he never got big enough where he could actually, you know, he could get on a coffee table,
right?
But he couldn't get like on a side table, like a chair table, something like that.
Okay,
like where you put on the what do you call them? End table,
red table. There you go.
He couldn't really get up to that.
Right.
I mean, he could get up with his paws, but he would, you know, nothing ever was. Yeah, it was about maybe 3 foot. His 3-4. Yeah, about 3 foot. His tail could hit.
But, okay.
You know, if he tried hard. But Maggie, I think, is gonna be a good. You know. I think she'll be able, I think, to walk up to the end table at some point and put her head on it.
Oh Jesus! Good Lord.
I mean, maybe not. Maybe she'll stop, and maybe she'll start growing wider as opposed to taller.
Yeah.
But she's close to outgrowing this little bed we have here.
Damn.
And she's already. Yeah, she a couple months she'll be too big for that bed.
Jesus Christ.
So.
Damn.
That and it's like, okay, we're starting to see changes in her now. Because she was just only black in the face. Now we're seeing white spots.
Okay.
Or black spots show up in her coat and other places.
Oh, okay.
So we don't know if she's got some Dalmatian in her or what she's got going on.
Damn.
Yep.
Yep, too big for me.
Yep.
Too big for me. Fuck that.
But she's a big sweetie. She doesn't bark, yeah.
Oh, she doesn't bark? You're lucky.
Unless she needs something.
Okay.
Like go outside or, you know, come feed me. That's one time she barks.
Okay.
Now, we haven't trained her, though, to bark at the door or things of that nature. Somebody's, you know, coming at the house.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So just to kind of like, if somebody comes up and knocks on the door or checks the door or rattles something, you know, she comes like Roscoe and Jesse, boom, they're right at the door.
Right. That's the way ours are. They go nuts.
And she's not to that point yet. But then she's like, she's still four.
Yeah.
First 4 months, rather.
Yeah. So
she may pick that up. She does still watch TV.
Oh, does she?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ivy does that. She'll stare intently at that TV, especially if there's something like, you know, you hear a doorbell.
Oh, yeah. Doorbells. Roscoe used to go nuts on doorbells.
See, this
doorbells and knocks. He'd go nuts if you heard that on TV.
Yeah. Now she goes, Ivy goes nuts for knocks because I will just, and I shouldn't do it because it does nothing but ingrain the behavior further.
Yeah.
But when I'm walking down the stairs, she'll be standing at the top. And if she doesn't bark, because usually if I get near the front door, she will go crazy. So as long as I don't touch the front door, when I go down the stairs, she'll bark about half the time at me because she knows I'm going down. And I will, just for fun, I will knock on the walls as I go down. And she goes berserk when she hears knocking. She cannot stand that. Matter of fact, that's the way a lot of times, that's the way I'll get her into bed. Because like I say, she'll be up eating, you know, at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night when Barb goes to bed. And the easiest way to get her into bed is walk into the bedroom, knock on the wall, and she'll come tearing down the hallway barking her fool head off. And then I'll pick her up and throw her in the bed, and she's fine. But about half the time after I've thrown her into bed, within 20 minutes, according to Barb, within 20 minutes, she's standing at the end of the bed, and she does this thing. It's cute, but it's irritating. She does this thing, and she does it when you're eating also. She will sit there and watch you and go, you know, and just kind of nudge at you, and she'll take a paw and scratch at your arm like, give me food, come on, I want some food. And if you don't give it to her or if you ignore her, she will sit there. And as long as you are watching her, when you're watching her, she won't do it. But if you look away from her, she will sit there for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then she will start doing this thing where she, it's almost like she's having a spastic attack. She'll be like, bark, bark, bark. And she'll just do this jumping thing with her face until you pay attention to her. If you turn around and look at her, she'll quit doing it. But she does the same thing in bed at night. She'll walk down to the end of the bed, which is her signal to let me down. I got shit to do. And if you don't pay attention to her, she will just start doing that thing. And then you have no choice. If you want to sleep, you have to let her down. But it's really weird. Ivy is, this has suddenly happened in the last month or two. Suddenly, out of the blue, she is enjoying, or seems to be enjoying, sleeping by herself. Because she will get Barb to let her down when Barb goes to bed. She will go out there, she will eat, and she will plop down in her little bed and go to sleep. Because I will come up at 3, 4, 5 in the morning, and bang, she's laying there in her bed. And I'm kind of like, you know, I come to bed, usually Barb will wake up, and I'll be like, has Ivy been in the bed at all tonight? She's like, no. No, she's been out there by herself all night long. So it seems like more and more, longer and longer, she's saying fuck it and just staying out in her bed. And sometimes I can't even get her to come to bed when I go to bed. She'll be like, fuck you, I'm going to lay here. I'm going to lay here and I'll do my own thing and whatever.
Yeah.
Which is just weird because, you know, Barb's used to having her in the bed. Personally, I prefer to have her not in the bed. Matter of fact, I have tried to convince Barb several times to quit letting her in the bed because she'll burrow under the sheets. I'll come to bed, roll over on my side, stretch my legs out, and as soon as my feet move, she will attack them.
Yeah.
If I move my feet, she will either attack my feet or she will mistakenly assume that it's Barb, and she will attack Barb's leg or Barb's feet.
Yeah.
And so far, she has never broken skin or drawn blood, but it's still painful when she bites into your leg.
Yeah.
Or even worse, your heel. Ugh. So, I definitely prefer her to be outside the bed when I come to bed at night. Yeah. That way, at least it gives me a chance to get settled in bed and fall asleep before Barb lets her in, if she does, and she starts that behavior up again. And even then, you know, I'll wake up at 4 in the morning with her biting my legs, going, what the fuck did I do? You know, I must have moved my legs in my sleep. Shit.
Yeah.
I got to stop moving. Fuck. Yeah, Ivy's just irritating as shit.
Oh, shit. So, nerd news. Anything going on that we haven't talked about lately? It's been 3 weeks.
Well, I can tell you this. I have now watched Black Adam.
Yep. You enjoyed it.
I hate to admit it, but it was a good movie.
But again, though, I mean, you don't have to hate to admit that one because it's not.
I do. You know. I do. I hate to admit it because it means what it means to me is DC did something right. And what that tells me is DC did something right here. So that means their next two to three movies are going to suck ass because they're going to stumble again. And they're going to fuck this shit up.
Yeah.
And I hate the fact that, you know, we just went through, what, four, five, six movies over the past 10 years that were all pretty much either real mediocre or real crappy. And here I've gotten one good one, and I'm like, wow, that was a good movie. I enjoyed the shit out of that. Had good action, had a good story, good character. I enjoyed that, which tells me, again, the next movie they put out is going to be a piece of crap. DC has trained me to a pattern of good movie, crap, 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 good movie, crap, crap, crap.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of thing. I have high hopes because I don't know if you've heard this, but apparently, I can't remember the guy's name, Peter Safran or something. James Gunn has been put in charge of the DC movie arm.
Yeah, they've been like written a Bible.
Yeah, him and this Peter Safran guy have apparently completed or almost completed a DC Bible, which will set down in stone, quote unquote, the way that they see the DC universe going and the movies they plan to do going forward from this point.
Yeah.
And I have really high hopes that they're going to do a worthy job of lining things up and putting things together.
Yeah.
James Gunn is hinting big time. He's put up a graphic of Lobo and all this shit. He's hinting big time that Lobo will be a forthcoming movie.
Yeah.
That it will be one.
Which
of the
I'm still kind of like, all right. I'm wondering how relevant Lobo is now. I mean, if people will be like, oh, Lobo, we got to... I think nerds...
Nerds will.
And people who grew up with the Lobo character around.
Right.
But to everybody else, it'll be like, does it mean anything?
I think, depending on the trailers, if they did a Lobo movie, depending on the trailers and the way they approached its presentation,
yeah.
I think it could be a really big movie. Because, like you say, the geeks are the ones who are really familiar with Lobo. The normal public isn't, but that's such a fun character.
Yeah.
When you get down to it.
Or will the response be, hey, it's kind of like Deadpool, but not as fun.
But not as fun. Yeah, it could be. Who knows? You know, and this, like you say, Deadpool, good comparison. This could be DC's answer.
Yeah.
To the whole Deadpool phenomenon is, okay, well, fuck it. We're going to do Lobo, who's, a very Deadpool-like character. He regenerates. He can't be killed. Blah, 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 blah.
Because originally, Deadpool came about after Lobo.
Did it?
It used to be, yeah. It used to be who would win, Lobo or Wolverine.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that was the who'd win a fight.
Right.
Lobo or Wolverine, because, you know, Wolverine at the time was, you know, the Deadpoolish character,
right?
Of can't die, but he was also badass. And else, he wasn't all sensitive. He hadn't all Hugh Jackman yet,
right?
Even though, let's all face it, we're all dying to see the Deadpool Wolverine movie.
Oh my God, are we dying to see it? a logo came out. I still haven't figured out. I haven't researched it very deeply, but I still haven't figured out whether it's a real logo or not. But a logo has come out for the next Deadpool, and it's a great logo. It's the Deadpool logo, but it's half Deadpool and half Wolverine, the Wolverine half done in the style of the original Deadpool logo. And it's just a great looking logo. It's a great looking logo. And I'm like, please let this be the actual one you use for the movie, because this, if I was a non-familiar with these characters type person, this logo alone is a really well done logo, and it would make me go, huh, this might be kind of interesting. Maybe I'll try this. You know, for the very few people, at least in my opinion, for the very few people who have never seen Deadpool yet and have no idea who Wolverine is, or better, I guess you could just say who haven't seen Deadpool, which Deadpool runs so often on, what is it, FX?
FX, yeah.
Yeah, it runs so often on FX. I'm kind of to the point now where I'm like, if you haven't seen Deadpool, you are literally not watching TV.
Yeah.
Because you can't avoid seeing a showing of Deadpool
somewhere. They rarely
somewhere.
Show Deadpool 2, though.
You're right, they do. You're right.
It's always just Deadpool. They don't show Deadpool 2.
Yeah, they always show the first one. You're absolutely right.
Which, granted, the first one's pure classic, and the second one with time has not aged as well.
I don't know.
I mean, it's still, I enjoy it, but it's not as good as the first one.
It's more of a serious story as opposed to an origin story.
Well, I don't know.
Deadpool's,
I mean, they pretty much killed off X-Force.
Yeah, that's true. The first Deadpool movie was basically pure origin story.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pure origin story, and it is a he has a great beginning to that character, and that movie is just pure fun. Pure fucking fun all the way through.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2 got a little more serious at points with the whole Cable and the, you know, this kid killed my daughter. He's going to grow up to be a horrible person
and
plant bombs and shit and kill people. It got Deadpool 2 got a little more serious.
Yeah.
But I still, yeah, see, for me, Deadpool 2 has aged fine. For me, at least, it's aged fine.
It's been a while since I've seen it, so I mean, I really can't, you know.
Yeah. I watched it again recently because FX still, they're not, like you say, they're not running it as much as Deadpool 1, but they are running Deadpool 2 on FX. And I've caught it a couple times and been like, you know what? This is a really good movie. The Juggernaut thing and... you know, Cyclops again, appearing again, and Yoko, and what's her name? Teenage Negasonic Nuclear Warhead.
Yeah. You got Domino in there, too.
Yeah, you got Domino. And supposedly, what's his name? What's the character? Cable. Supposedly, Cable is coming back for the new Deadpool also.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Deadpool, Wolverine, Cable, you're shoehorning a lot of shit into this movie.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see how well they can make all these characters mesh together.
Yeah.
And still give them each enough screen time.
It'll be done under the Marvel umbrella.
Yes.
And if there's one thing they've been able to do.
Yeah.
Is put a lot of things into movies and give everybody their right screen time where it doesn't feel like anybody's, you know.
That is true.
Being left out.
That is true. Civil War is a great example. I mean, that movie was stacked wall to wall with fucking characters.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody got enough screen time that it was like, you know, an extravaganza. And you didn't feel like anybody was getting short shifted.
Oh, yeah.
On screen time.
Yeah. And at the same time, you're also getting, you know, three actors who basically are like, yeah, we'll keep doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
Hugh Jackman was out. They pulled him back in.
Oh, fuck yeah. And how Reynolds convinced him, I'll never know.
Yeah.
Because all indications that he'd given was, I'm done.
Well, the thing is, at the same time, I think all indications were Marvel was just looking to pick up new.
Right.
And Marvel may just, you know, may have not had that plan.
Right.
They're like, we're just not going to get anything out.
Yeah.
Because everybody's still, what are they going to do with the X-Men? I guess we get some kind of hint. I have no idea. That's how far removed I've been from everything. What happens in Black Panther that shows the X-Men or shows something at the end?
Well, if I remember right, I could be wrong, but if I remember right from reading, Namor is... It is implied he is a mutant.
Oh.
It is implied that character is a mutant, which is cool because if I remember right, yeah. He was a mutant in the comics. He was considered a mutant in the comics, which, by the way.
Is everybody from Atlantis a mutant?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Or was he a mutant from Atlantis? Is he, you know, fish dude, but he's a mutant?
It's not Atlantis. It's they've dropped the Atlantis thing because apparently they felt that it would be too confusing with the whole Jason Momoa and Aquaman being from Atlantis. So they wanted to avoid that association. I can't even remember what they called the place he's from.
Atlanta.
Yeah, really, Atlanta.
He's from Atlanta.
I have no idea what they refer to the place as. I just know that he's the ruler of it, and it's Atlantis-like, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
And as I was telling you before the show, I found a boot and watched, like, the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes and kind of walked away going, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I don't need to see the movie now. I've got it all. I know how it starts. I know who becomes Black Panther. I know how the last.
Oh, we all kind of knew that it was anyway.
Exactly. We all knew that. Yeah. I know how the final fight goes. You know, that's all I needed to see. I'm done. You know, I'll still end up seeing.
Yeah.
Black Panther either in a theater, doubtful, or on Blu-ray, more probable. But I don't feel like I normally do with a Marvel movie. I don't feel this overwhelming. oh my God, I've got to get to a theater now and see this before anybody spoils it.
I've kind of been that way on a lot of stuff lately.
Yeah. There's really no spoiling this movie. You know how it's going to begin. You know who the villain is, quote unquote villain, misguided person is more of along the lines. And you know how it's going to invariably end because you know that Wakanda comes out on top, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, again, once you know the beginning, once you know the middle, once you know the end, you're done. You don't really need to see the movie. Again, I will see the movie, but it's going to be on my own terms and in my own good time. Though I have to admit, there is a good, it was not on the boot, but there is, from what I've read of the breakdown of the scene, there is a very good mid-end credits sequence in Black Panther 2 that when I read it, I went, that's pretty cool. That's a good ending. I respect that. I think that's cool. And it sets up kind of sets up possibly the next Black Panther movie. I won't tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Just in case you go see it. But yeah, if I remember right, that there's only a mid credits. There's no mid-credit and end-credit this time. There's just a mid-credit is the only thing you get. And it pertains entirely to Wakanda. It's no more of this pointing to the next movie, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It all grows out from Wakanda and points back to the next Wakanda movie. So I'm cool with that. You know. And like I say, it was a... again, according to the breakdown I've read, it was a good mid-credit sequence, and I consider it worthy of being in Wakanda Forever, and that's cool. That's cool. I like that. But again, back to Black Adam. Black Adam, anybody who's curious if they want to see it or not, fucking see it. It's fun. It's got great action. The Rock, you know, I have never viewed The Rock as a stupid, mindless beefcake. Yeah. I've always thought, you know what? He's actually a pretty decent actor. He's not, you know, Laurence fucking Olivier, but he's still a pretty decent actor.
Yeah.
He's got good range. He does good characters. It's not always the same character. He's not one of these people that plays the same thing every time. He plays different and varying characters, and Black Adam was a good character, you know? You don't see him identified as Black Adam until the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's an organic scene.
Yeah.
Where he decides to take on the name. His origin, Rock's ass. What he decides to do with his powers. Up to a certain point and then beyond a certain point is good. They did it well. And the end credit sequence, I'll tell you that flat out. The end credit sequence is good. it's good. And spoiler, for anybody who doesn't want to know this, turn your set down for the next 30 seconds. And it won't ruin it for you, Charlie. The end credit sequence is basically a sequence between Black Adam and Superman.
Okay.
And it definitely sets up a future possible confrontation between them. What's her name? Viola Davis. Amanda Waller is in the movie.
Yeah.
She plays a pretty decent part in the flick. She plays a pretty decent part, and the blonde chick, whose name totally escapes me, but the blonde, good-looking chick from Peacemaker.
Yeah, the one that married James Gunn.
Yes, the one that married James Gunn. Is that her?
Mm-hmm.
That is her. Okay. She appears in the movie, and it was definitely one of those moments where if you've seen Peacemaker And if you enjoy Peacemaker, she comes on the screen and you just kind of go, yeah, awesome. Yeah. You know, to see her suddenly appear out of nowhere, it's kind of like, that's cool. We dig this chick. She's a good character, you know. She is the only, I think, she's the only character we get from Peacemaker, if I remember right.
So did James Gunn have any, I mean, I guess he had to, you know, not give permission, but, you know, kind of have something to say if they were going to use that character in there.
No, as far as I know, Gunn had nothing to do with Black Adam.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's like behind the scenes thinking, hey, you know, this might be good.
I don't think so.
Maybe if they were like calling him and going, hey, your movie did well. It didn't really do well, honestly. It did okay.
Yeah, exactly. It did okay.
But they're like, fans liked your movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody
yeah.
who normally hates all of our movies liked yours.
Liked what yours. Do? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
What?
Looks like I won't be buying Peacemaker. God damn, people.
What?
Fucking $56.
Oh, geez. Great.
Fuck you. $56?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Oh, that sucks, because I didn't realize it was out till the other day. Somebody was posting a copy for sale. I wish I'd bought it now, because they were selling it for $25.
Oh, shit.
Shit, you can buy the overseas Blu-ray version for $30.
Yeah.
Or you can buy the American Blu-ray version for fucking $56. There's no way. That's crazy. Wait a minute.
They have to make their money off at first. So it goes down to the $20 bin.
Shit, 56.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. There's a 27 listed here. Oh, it's a Canadian version. Well, fuck that. I want the American version.
You got to pay.
God damn.
It's inflation.
All right, hold on. We got to pause for a second. Okay. Man. I thought I was going to explode. Yeah, I thought I was going to explode. By the way, before I forget, I have to mention this because I was just thinking about this going up the stairs. For anybody who enjoys food videos, I guess you'd say, food type videos.
You talk about your beard, dude?
Yeah, man. There's this dude on fucking YouTube. It's called Food Meets Beard.
And it's spelled M-E-A-T-S.
Yes, M-E-A-T-S. Food Meets Beard. If you have not seen this guy before, fucking go to YouTube and try out one of his videos. And I have a feeling you'll end up being hooked. What he does is he does nothing but food challenges. He goes to restaurants. He just finished a big series of videos in the U.S. He traveled to the U.S., and did a bunch of food challenges here at various places that he had mapped out. Normally he does them, of course, in Britain, which is where he's from. But this guy does these food challenges. He wears, I don't know how to describe his size. I'd say he's probably around 170, maybe 180 pounds. I do know he wears a size medium t-shirt. Because of the t-shirts he's gotten in these various food challenges. This guy, holy shit, he can eat so much food, it will blow your mind. Some of the food challenges he has done, I've just sat there in awe watching these videos of him doing them. And I love them because most of them are relatively short. They're anywhere from 9 to 14 minutes. So they're a nice quick view. And if you're like me, I tend to watch. You can change the speed on YouTube videos on most devices. And I have a tendency to watch at 1.5 and 1.75 speed. So basically I can turn a 9 to 14 minutes video into a, you know, 6 or 7 to 11 minute video. And watch them that way. And of course he'll go through, you know, he'll go through and speed up segments of the video as he eats, so you don't have to watch him the entire time just eating his meal. You can watch part of it sped through on him eating the meal. But this guy's amazing. His videos are mind-blowing, and the shit he eats. Holy fuck. Callum, I don't know how in the fuck you people eat what you
what do.
What do
you mean, you people?
You fucking Brits. How
you
in the
cuts.
Fuck do
eat
you...
fucking cuts. How do you fucking
you
cuts?
Fucking cuts, there you go. How do you eat these fucking meals? Who eats fucking baked beans for breakfast?
On crackers or toast or whatever.
I know it. Oh, fried bread. Yeah. That's one of the... He does a lot of these British breakfast challenges, and a lot of it is fried bread. And I haven't looked it up on the web, but I'm curious, what the fuck is fried bread? What do you fry it in? I mean, lard or what?
Is it like donuts?
I don't know, because he never explains what it is. He'll just be like, oh, God, you know, there's 9-10 slices of fried bread here that I've got to get through. And of course, you know, as I'm sure Callum is familiar with, he will use the bread to sop up and make sandwiches of the baked beans. He'll just, I mean, this guy, he eats with his hands. I mean, it's a trip to watch him, because he will. He'll just pick up, you know, there was one challenge he did where he walked in, and it was these two giant sandwiches. And
okay, here it is.
What's that?
Fried bread.
Okay.
Also known as fried toast, is a slice of bread, pan fried, slice of bread, pan fried in butter, oil, or lard.
Okay. Lard. There you go.
Basically, you're kind of making, you're doing like a little toast thing in a skillet. And...
almost like a French toast, just without the eggs.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. See,
so
I couldn't.
There you go.
Some of these meals, he's eaten between 8 and 10 slices of bread. And I'm like, that's over half a loaf. How can you. That alone, just the bread, would fucking destroy me. And then you're adding on
keto.
You know, he's adding on 6 pieces of sausage, and blood pudding, and chips, what we would call fries, and all this shit. There was one great challenge where he walked into the place, sat down to do it, and they brought him these two inhuman sized sandwiches, and a plate of. Chips, French fries. Bring him this giant thing of French fries, and it's like, what, 2 pounds of French fries? I think it was like 2 pounds of French fries. And he even made the comment in this video, this specific video. He even said, wait a minute, this is not what's on the menu on the picture. And they're like, oh, we had to make it harder because too many people were getting through it. And he's like, and you made it 2 pounds of chips? To make it, you know, harder? Holy fuck. And he did. That challenge, he barely made it through. But most of these things are like, oh, God. You know, he has to do it in 30 to 60 minutes, depending on what the food is. And I just, I can't even imagine eating that much food. It would.
I'm going to tell you, he's more entertaining than the Man versus Food dude.
He is. He is much more entertaining.
Yeah.
He's a fun guy. He has a lot of humor injected into his videos.
Yeah.
He really does have fun with it and jokes around with the patrons in the restaurant at the time and jokes around with the owners, because 9 times out of 10, the owners or the manager on duty will sit down at the table next to him and watch him go through this meal.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many meals I've seen him do where he'd ask him, he'd say, so do you think I can do it? And they'll take a look at him and be like, nope, there's no way you can do it. You're not big enough. You know, there's no way you can do this. And again, you know, I watched one last night, a bowl of ramen, 2 pounds of beef, 2 pounds of noodles, and what was it? 2 gallons, which equated to like 4 pounds. Or no, 8 pounds. It was either 2 or 4 gallons of broth, which equated to 8 pounds of fluid.
Oh, God.
12 pounds of shit. And he pounded it the fuck down. He had 60 minutes to do it. He did it in 28.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude. I mean, this guy's incredible. This guy is fucking incredible. The amount of food that he can put away. And apparently he'll go like 2 or 3 days between challenges. Because, yeah, it takes him, you know, 2 or 3 days to shit all that stuff out.
Oh, yeah, it has to be.
I mean, good Lord. I couldn't imagine. You'd break a fucking toilet bowl. You know, taking a shit after the kind of stuff he eats. I'm like, I can't even imagine eating that much food. I can't imagine 3 or 4 people eating that much food and not having some leftovers. But yeah, if you get a chance, Man Meats, M-E-A-T-S, Man, sorry, Food Meets Beard. Yeah. Food Meets Beard. And I guarantee you, I can give you my solemn word, you will find it entertaining. If you do not find it entertaining, you have no sense of humor and no sense of adventure whatsoever. Sorry. It's just the way it is. Just the way it is. And I will say it again. I said it a minute ago. I'll say it again. Callum, I do not know how you people eat what you eat as a breakfast.
Yeah, I'm like, what? That just doesn't even sound appetizing.
No.
But you'd be interested to say, okay, Callum, so just message us. What is it that you people over there go, look at us and go, what the fuck?
There you go. What do we eat that you go, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Why are you doing that?
Yeah, I'm curious. You know, these guys, you know, 12 slices of bacon, 6 giant sausages, bowl of baked beans.
To get 12 slices of bacon.
Oh, if I could
anywhere.
Do it. No.
Oh, I could. No, believe me, I could eat 12
slices
of bacon.
Oh, I couldn't eat 12 slices of bacon. There's no
way. Oh, I could. Oh, fuck yeah, I could. No. I probably have.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Probably, no, it's all nice and crisped up. Now, it's over the course of probably, you know, 90 minutes.
Right. Well, you know.
I had my 2 slices, and there's the stack of bacon, because you fried up everything in the back.
Yeah.
I keep going back to it, and, oh, that's pretty damn good.
Yep, exactly, yeah. I mean, 90 minutes, maybe. I could probably do that. You know, 12 slices of bacon.
Be working on some bacon. I got a griddle this week. A flat top, you know, grill.
Yeah.
And I'm not put it together yet. It's sitting out the garage.
Okay.
I'm going to do it today. Just a day got away from me. But, smash burgers and breakfast out on the griddle and everything else. Oh, all coming soon.
Fuck yeah.
Yep.
I love a good smash burger, man. I love a good smash burger.
And I'll be experimenting and trying all kinds of different things. You know, cheesesteaks and...
Hell yeah.
Stuff like that, so...
I haven't had a good cheesesteak in years. It has been...
They have them down here. There's been a couple of good ones I've had.
Okay.
I've had some nasty ones down here, though, too. It's just they put too much of the white sauce on. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there you go.
It was just nasty. But the thing is, though, to make it real, you use, was it Cheese Whiz? You don't use actual cheese. It's supposed to be an orange cheese, the way they make them in Philly.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's not, and I think it's actually Cheese Whiz.
Damn.
Or that type of cheese, but... Because I was watching, I forget what I was watching. I saw it, and they were talking. No, it's not. You know, the provolone or whatever else you see anywhere else. It's supposed to be this.
Jesus.
So, but yes, I'm going to be experimenting with that. Still got my smoker. I'm going to clean. Oh, since I'm on vacation this week, but give the smoker a good cleaning. It's been a while since I've given it a real good cleaning, so I'll clean that out. Get the grill set up. Got my fire pit going.
Nice.
String up Christmas lights for the palm trees.
Nice.
I forget how many lights I need on a palm tree. I mean, because they're not real tall. They're only like, the one in the back's like 6 foot, and the one out front's 8 foot.
Right.
And how many lights do I really need to wrap around it? How many times, you know?
Yeah, true.
You know, how many feet of lights do I need to make it look decent?
Make it good, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then I got to figure out what I'm going to do in the front, because, I mean, every single one of the bushes has fucking died, so.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I think tomorrow I'm going to pull up all the bushes and everything else and finish putting the rock down, around and clean all that up. I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be a very boring house at Christmas with no lights out front. So I figure what I'm going to put there.
Fuck a bunch of lights.
Yeah. So, other movies we have not talked about.
Yes.
It's been, you know, this are 2 weeks out of the show.
Right.
Weird, the Al Yankovic story just came out.
Fucking awesome.
If you've not watched it yet.
Oh, God.
Do watch it.
See it.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it and enjoyed it.
Oh, it's fun.
But there's parts, though, he's like, oh, somebody compared to it. Oh, it's better than Walk Hard. I'm like, no, I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't know.
That'd be a stretch.
If you'd had that Tim Meadows character in Weird.
Right, right.
Oh, you don't want this, Dewey?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that would have been fun. But no,
it's still
a
good movie.
Oh, yeah, it's a good
The ending, though, with Pablo Escobar and Madonna and all that shit kind of like threw me off a little bit.
See, I loved that. I thought it was a great
I liked
ending.
It, but I was like, okay, this you're now going, you know.
In the crazy zone.
Yeah.
And for any yeah, for anybody who goes, wow, I had no idea this is his life, it's not. 90% of the shit in the movie. Because I've talked to a couple of people who were like, I had no idea of this about him. I had no idea his father hated his playing and everything and all this shit. I'm like, it's not true. I was like, his father was an accordion player. His father was a very famous polka player. That's the back history they gave in the movie is totally fake. So yeah.
Oh, the 90%. Party at Dr. Demento's house with everybody there.
Oh fuck. Andy Warhol and Pee Wee Herman.
Oh yeah.
Totally fake.
And then John Deacon from Queen coming up.
Oh God, yes.
Challenge you do another one bites dust. And the whole Michael Jackson thing, oh my God.
Oh yeah. He recorded Eat It before Beat It got recorded and all that shit.
He's like, Michael Jackson has done a parody song of your song. So Eat It, he's called it Beat It.
Yeah, it was priceless.
He's like, everybody's gonna think that he did it first.
That was priceless.
Yeah.
And one of the things that is in the movie that most people go, oh, that didn't happen. Actually, it did happen. He did date Madonna. And Madonna did convince him, talked him into and convinced him to do a parody version of Like a Virgin. So that part of the movie is actually true. Now, I don't know how hot and heavy they got into it, dating and all that shit. But they did date. And she was the one who
suggested. They just showed the word fuck on national television.
Uh-oh, what?
I'm watching the Pittsburgh Steelers-Cincinnati Bengals game.
Yeah.
And hang on, I'm backing it up so Terry can see it. There's a guy in a shirt. Here, let's see. They go back to the screen here. All right. We're watching through. They're going to show the crowd at some point. They're getting all crazy.
Nice.
It's a second. It's right when they go to third down. They get the. I'm being third down.
Yeah.
The fans are going nuts. And there's a guy up in the stands. And they're going to show it. The crowd's going crazy. And here we go. Look right there above the Minnesota. I'm trying to read what the top part it says. I'm just, whenever you see it. Yeah. It's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And I'm trying to see what the top of the shirt says. It's like, don't fuck this up or something.
Oh, nice. Nice. Don't fuck this up.
That's funny. Shit.
We've come so far in TV broadcasting.
Yep. We've come. Show the word fuck on TV. And I'm sure the cameraman didn't even notice it. So dude, it says fuck right there.
Turn away fast. Turn away.
Fast. Turn away. Turn away. Oh, no. He's got his dick out.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, shit.
All right. We're about at the end.
We're done. You all have yourselves a good week. If you want to donate the show, you can. PayPal donation, you all know all that jazz.
You
know, leave us your review if you want to. You're not going to, but hey, we've mentioned it anyway.
There you go.
So until next week, have a happy Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you then. Later.
Later.
If you'd like to send an email to charlie@apocalypseradio.com or shaman@apocalypseradio.com. To subscribe, use the links at apocalypseradio.com or search for us on iTunes.
Dave's rolling, man. Make some noise.
Live from the intersection of beer and bongs.
Okay, tape's rolling.
On that lonely old highway we call the World Wide Web.
Oh, dude, start over.
Making sure the net never gets predictable. It's...
I'll mollify it with some sounds.
Apocalypse Radio.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
Good night, Herr Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blücher.
Galactus, Galactus, the devourer of worlds. What? Are you recording? That was mean.